Isaiah chapter 41. And we'll commence reading of the opening verse. Isaiah 41, commencing to read from the verse 1. Let us all hear the word of God together. Keep silence before me, O islands, and let the people renew their strength. Let them come near, then let them speak. Let me come near together to judgment. We raised up the righteous man from the east, called him to his foot, gave the nations before him and made him rule over kings. He gave them as the dust of his sword and as a driven stubble to his bow. He pursued them and passed safely, even by the way that he had not gone with his feet. Who hath wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, the first and with the last, I am he. The isles saw it and feared. The ends of the earth were afraid, drew near and came. They helped every one his neighbor, and every one said to his brother, Be of good courage. So the carpenter encouraged the goldsmith, and he that smootheth with the hammer him that smote the anvil, saying, It is ready for the soldering. And he fastened it with nails, that it should not be moved. But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham my friend. Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, Thou art my servant, I have chosen thee, and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them, and shalt not find them, even them that contended with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing, and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Amen. We'll end the reading there. We know that the Lord's blessing will fear. What is fear? Of course, it is an unpleasant emotion triggered by either danger or pain. It is emotion countless multitudes have experienced, and perhaps it is an emotion which you presently are experiencing. Fear, like all other things, had a beginning. If you take your Bible and you open in the book of Genesis, it doesn't take very much reading before you discover and you come to the first reference, the first occasion where there was fear. Of course, it bears relation to Adam and Eve in the garden. Remember that they hid themselves for they feared the presence of the Lord. And therefore, we can have to say that fear finds its origin in sin and is therefore part of the fallen nature of humanity of today. But you and I, we should not speak lightly of doubts and fears as so often and so many do, because God doesn't. God considers doubts and fears to be great evils and exceedingly dishonorable unto himself. And from such he affords and he presents sufficient remedies, potent remedies for you and I to turn to in the scriptures of truth. For example, and I'm sure you've often heard it before, there are some 365 fear nots in the Bible. That means that there is a fear not for every day of the week and every day of the year. And we have come to one of those fear nots here in Isaiah 41 and the verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. And so on and so forth. This verse reads. And here we have a fear not in Scripture. This is an antidote to fear. And if you today are found in God's house and there is fear in your heart over something or other that I cannot presently put my finger upon, but you know what it is, then the Lord has a word and a message for your heart. And that message is simply this: fear not. Fear not. We want to consider from this text God's encouragement to a discouraged heart. Notice with me firstly, there is an exhortation to courage. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed. The Lord seems to be here through the inspiration of Scripture. Isaiah was told to pen that phrase, fear thou not, be not dismayed, twice. It's written twice for our admonition. The Lord is exhorting that. He is re-emphasizing a point here. God speaks once, yet twice, and man perceives it not. How few of us would have noticed that? How few of us, as we read the Word of God, would we have stopped to consider that the Lord is re-emphasizing something? This is an exhortation to courage. And when he says, fear thou not, the word itself, surely it must come as music to the soul. And as we listen to those words, it's like the strings and the music that emanate from a harp, from drawing on the chords. There is music to the soul of the child of God. Fear thou not, as a commandment. Be not dismayed. You know, we could think of some of the notes that are here strung from this harp of praise. We could think of the note of caution. Now ask yourself the question, what is it in my heart that triggers fear? What is it in my breast that stirs my soul that I am stricken and solidified with fear? What is it? I give you an example. Perhaps it is when the body is raked by physical pain. Perhaps the younger generation will not say that, well, that applies to me. But the olders perhaps certainly can. They will say, yes, there's rheumatism. There's pains in the hips. There's pains in the finger joints. There's pains everywhere in the body. I am raked with pain and I am fear of death. What does the Lord say? In such and such occasions, he says, fear not. It's an exhortation to take courage. But there may be another reason. It could be relative sorrows. And those relative sorrows could be conceived by those who are near and dear unto us. It could be a mother or a father in their middle years they have wayward children. Their children are not walking with the Lord as they ought. Their children have strayed. They're in bypath meadows. They are bringing pain and hurt and grief into the family circle. It can be a cause of fear. A cause of dismay. And what does the Lord say to the child of God who was going through such circumstances? He says, fear thou not. The exhortation to courage could be of some other event that is happening in the family home, in the surrounding area. It could be something of some other nature. But you know, my dear friend, you can supply the application. You can give the example. What is the Lord saying to your heart in the service this morning? He is saying, fear not. That's what he's saying. Be not dismayed. You know, as we draw on the strings of the harp again, this exhortation to courage, there's also a note of counsel in that verse. For it says, fear thou not. You see, the Bible is the believer's counselor. The psalmist David himself in the Psalms could say, thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. There are many counselors today. There are many men who will stand in the councils of our land, and you go to them if you seek counsel for help in some way or other. But for the child of God, the Bible is our counselor. And the Bible is the book that we turn to when we need counsel, when we need instruction. Of course, that is so generally, but it's also true personally. Because here in this verse, the Lord says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. And when you look at that verse and that opening statement, notice the times there is the personal pronoun. It's thou, fear thou not, for I am with thee. It's personal. It may have been written years before, but my friend, this book is right up to date. And the Lord is speaking right now to your heart. You're in some fear. There is some circumstance in your life, some event that is causing you great pain, anxiety. And the Lord is saying, my dear son, my dear daughter, fear thou not. Don't worry about it. Bring your trouble to the Lord and leave it there. Of course, God has always counseled individuals. We could think of Jonah in the Old Testament. The Lord came when he was in a strait, and the Lord counseled him. The same could be said of Job, of Elijah, of David. You see, every child of God, they experience pain. We all go through circumstances in life that bring fear to the heart, alarm to the soul. Every single one of us. Without exception. And the Lord in love and in mercy inspired Isaiah to write these words, fear thou not, for I am with thee. You know, as we draw on the strings of the harp again, there's another note. It's the note of comfort. He says, be not dismayed. Oh yes, fear thou not. It's in the imperative. It's the commandment of the Lord. But so likewise is this term, be not dismayed. Now of course the word dismayed, it deals with the gaze. It deals with the look. That's the primary meaning behind the word. And the meaning seems to be, don't gaze around as though you are lost. Very often you get people in holidays and well, if they're not sure of where they're going, they're there with a map and they're, you see them in a strange town, they're looking this way, they're looking that way, which way will we go? They're lost, they're gazing around. I see people laughing, perhaps that has happened to you. We all know what it is to stand around and to gaze as though we're lost. And that's the very meaning behind the word here. Be not dismayed. Don't stand around gazing as though you're lost. You're never lost with the Lord. He's always with us. Never fails. Never forsakes. Turn over in your Bible for a moment to 1 John. 1 John chapter 4. And notice with me here the verse 18. It says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment, but he that feareth is not made perfect in love. Of course, this verse itself should provide you and I with all the knowledge, with all the potent remedies, all the comforts that heaven itself can afford, that we should cast aside fear. Why? Because there is no fear in love. And what is God? Doth not the Bible remind us that God is love? And that verse can equally, and that statement can equally be translated, love is God. It means the same. And if you have the love of Christ dwelling in your heart, then perfect love casteth out fear. And the Lord says to your heart, fear thou not, be not dismayed. Dear child of God, don't be like a lost soul. Don't be like a person that is lost without refuge, without a Savior who loves you. Don't be like one who is standing gazing around. Lift your eyes to the Son of Righteousness. Lift your gaze to Christ. In His Word, there is all of the remedies that you and I require. That we would be able to say with our verse, we do not fear. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. I want to move on to consider, secondly, the motivations to courage. Because as you look at this text, there are motivations to courage. And I believe that there are three motivations to courage as you look at the verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Of course, there is there the promise of His person. The Lord is promising that He is with us. He says that in the verse, I will strengthen thee, I will help thee, I am thy God. And there is a great truth there. I am with thee. That is the greatest of all of truths. This is the Word that is expressed from the self-existent, the eternal, the independent God, of whom none can oust Him of His throne. There are many places and they seem to be impregnable. But they are. And they can be pulled down. But there is one throne that is settled in heaven, that is unmovable. That is the throne of God. And the person who sits upon that throne is Christ. And surely this is a motivation to courage when we think of the promise of His person, that I am with thee. Surely if that was all that you gleaned this morning from the text, if that was all that you gleaned, is it not a wealth? Is it not a supply unquenchable? The presence or the person of the Lord. Then you think even of the tense that is expressed in, I am with thee, I am thy God, I will strengthen thee. It's not I was, not I shall be, but I am thy God. I am with thee. That implies yesterday. It implies today. And it implies tomorrow. He is the same yesterday, today, and for all, forever. Such is the God that we adore, the promise of His person, and what tenderness He speaks. I am thy God, thou weak worm that thou art. Notice the verses 8 and 9. The Lord speaks to Jacob. He says, but thou, Israel, art my servant Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend, thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, thou art my servant. That's all that we are, is weak worms. And in tenderness he says, I am thy God. We're not worthy of that. But nonetheless, He is. And He has promised never to leave us nor forsake us. The promise of His person. Then you have the promise of His presence. For I am with thee. Fear thou not. I am with thee. Not just I am, not just the promise of His person. You know, Martin Luther said, if it were I and the Pope who had to fight it out, he said, I might well be afraid. But if it is the Pope against Martin Luther and his God, then woe to Antichrist. That's the promise of God's presence. You know, children of God today, there are many of us and we face the fight, the Christian fight. There are many here and they're enjoying holiday. In a few days or in a few weeks, you'll return home to your home congregation. You'll return to the battle and to the forefront of the battle to wage war against the devil. But if we go back, always with the knowledge of the protecting presence of the Lord, the promise of His presence, I am with thee, then our fight is not with the world. In that sense, without God, we go in the strength of the Lord. We wage the fight in the strength of the Lord. And God, when He is in the quarrel of the man who attacks error and stands up for truth, of course, the battle is the Lord's. We are but soldiers in it. Turn back in your Bible for a moment to Joshua chapter 1. And to the verse 5, it says, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. The Lord is saying to Joshua here, the man who is taken over from Moses, that there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And mark this, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. That's the promise of the Lord's presence. And that promise to Joshua is the same promise relevant to you and to I today. And therefore we can go, we can take the fight to the devil, to the world, and to the flesh. Because we go in the strength of Jehovah. A God who cannot fail, and a God who will not forsake us. I wonder, is that what you will do? You know, it's very possible that there are many here in this service and this message will just go over the top of their head. It'll go in one ear and out the other. They'll not take on board the Word of God. They're too caught up with themselves. The fields are whitened unto harvest. But the Lord says, the workers are few. And is that not the reason why many fear when they go out to do open airs? When they go out to knock doors? To do children's work? They fear man. And that's why many are not engaged in the service of God. The fear of man bringeth forth a snare. And we don't talk to our friend. We don't talk to our neighbor about the things of God. Fear in the heart. Remember what this verse says. In a motivation to courage. The promise of His presence. We don't go alone. We go in the strength of the Lord. We go armed with His armor, which cannot feel. God cannot feel because of His perpetuity. So there is here that motivation to courage and the promise of His person. We have noticed also the promise of His presence. But will you notice further that there is the promise of His power? The Lord says in this verse, I will help thee. I will strengthen thee. I will uphold thee. Again, you can dissect it into a threefold promise of power. The Lord says that I will strengthen thee. And the word strengthen there is found in a voice which means that the Lord would cause you to be strong. Many today are weak, but the Lord says, I will make you strong. The promise of power. What do we need in these days? We need the power of Pentecost. We need the Lord to descend in all His risen power, that the church might go forth like an army, vanquishing our foes. And that's what the Lord promises. You sit here today and you say, ah, preacher, I am devoid of power. The Lord says, ask and it shall be given you. The Lord says, seek and ye shall find. The Lord says, knock and it shall be opened unto you. And today if you say to me, I lack power in the work of God. And the Lord says, I will strengthen. And really in an essence here, this statement could be projected like this. I will cause you to be strong. In other words, I will put my strength in you. That's really the full import of the thought here. I will put strength in you. And then he says, I will help thee. Yea, I will help thee. That deals with succor. That deals with aid. That the Lord would take us by the hand. Is that not what we need today? The Lord to take His children by the hand and lead us forth. But he goes on with a further promise of power and he says, that I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Uphold thee. The word uphold comes from the root meaning to take hold of. And it simply suggests that I will grip you fast. Has any ever fallen from the grip of Christ? None. As the worm Jacob we sing and try to skimper out. But the Lord grips us fast. And that's what He does to His people. He gives us the promise of His power that I will grip you fast. As you seek to engage in the Lord's service, as you seek to do something for Him, I will grip you fast. You know, there's a story told about a certain Lord Chamberlain Leslie. He was riding through a dangerous ford with Queen of Scotland seated behind him on horseback. And she was fastened to him by a belt. And as they ascended a steep bank out of a river, as they went forth and the horse slipped, she slipped backwards. And Lord Chamberlain Leslie, he shouted back a word of encouragement. He says, grip fast, my lady. And she did, with both hands, and she was safe. It wasn't too long after that event when they got home The two additional buckles were added to that belt. But isn't there a wonderful truth there for you and I? We believe in the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. A threefold cord is not easily broken. When you look at this text of Scripture, there are a series of threes. It cannot be broken. What is there for us to be afraid of? The Lord says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." May the Lord bless His word to our hearts for His name's sake. And may you...